if there was doubt as to if there was any doubt about the gospel, it should have been cleared up over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And we know that that gospel is to be shared. It is to be shared. Somebody say shared.
Shared.
But not only is the gospel to be shared, the gospel is to be lived. And living requires some action. You know, if you remain still too long, somebody will check your pulse. You know, you got to have some movement. So the gospel moves. Today, in chapter 6, the first 10 verses there, we see the gospel in action. Paul has been dealing with this issue of law versus faith, law versus grace, traditionalism versus relationship. Paul has dealt with it because he's had to deal with it. He's had to deal with it because there have been some false prophets that showed up, and their goal wasn't to teach the identification of false doctrine. Their goal was to proclaim false doctrine, in that one, the Jew as well as the Gentile was subject to the law. And we've seen very eloquently Paul defend this issue of law versus faith. And it seemingly, to me, I mean, it was over with after the, you know, the first few verses of chapter 2. It was over with, but he has to continue on. And then in chapter 6, there is a shift from defending faith and grace, defending the differences between law, tradition, religion versus relationship and faith. He says, if you got all of that, then live it. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. But Paul says, it does no good to get all this head knowledge and then not be able to demonstrate it. He says the gospel is to be demonstrated, because everybody would not have gotten the oratory lessons. They you know, oratory words did not convince them, but your living it will show them what the gospel really is. And so verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul begins to outline, this is how you can put the gospel into action. So if you really want to know. And really, one of the verses contained in our day today's lesson says that if you really stuck on law, he says, get stuck on the law of Christ, okay? And he says, if you really want to put the gospel into action, embrace the law of Christ. And that is the law of love. We are not called to be lawless just simply because we are not subject to the law. We are subject to a higher law, and that is the law of Christ. And he says, this is how you put the law of Christ into action. This is how you put the gospel into action. Verse 1. We get our first step in the very first verse of how to put the gospel into action. How you put the law of love into action. First one is interesting because it says, if a man be overtaken by a fault. You can render that verse, since a man will be overtaken by a fault. Because I've been around you Baptist folk long enough. The ones visiting from Mississippi, California, and Laredo. I'm here to tell you that you're going to stumble. But Paul said, if you stumble, and when you stumble, there should be some restoration. So the first step in showing how the gospel is put into action is to restore a brother. I want y'all to see something there in verse 1. Because some of you think that sin is something to be played with. Taken there gives the element of, I studied the lesson too, and I have some knowledge of the original manuscript, is that it gives some element of surprise, that overtaken. But if you read a little further, it's surprise and progression. See, sin is progressive. It starts out real small. You don't even notice it. And all of a sudden, you caught up. Surprise! See, the issue is, here's why it's a surprise. It's a surprise on two levels. First of all, that you would let it get this far. And secondly, you're surprised you got caught. Y'all didn't hear. But the word of God is very clear. You ain't hiding nothing from God. God sees everything. You can fool me. You can fool brother and sister Lay. You know, on maybe on a rainy day you'll be able to fool Elijah and Robert. But I'm telling you, the eyes of God sees everything, good and evil. That's Proverbs 15:3. Hebrews 4:3 says, the Lord sees everything, views everything that you'll be accountable for. So you're not hiding it from me. I mean, you're hiding it from me, but you ain't hiding it from God. But sooner or later, you're caught up. And now you're surprised that you've been caught. And it says, but whenever that situation happens, those of you who are spiritual, you ought to restore. And there's a way to restore. He says that you ought to restore in the spirit of meekness. You know what meekness is, folks? It's not running up into somebody's face and saying, I told you about doing such and such. No. It means that even though you want to say it, you keep your mouth shut. You just keep your mouth shut. That's how you restore. For a lot of people want to restore after they give you a piece of their mind. But here it says, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you be tempted. What that means is that the very people you're chewing out today for doing that, you could very well be accused yourself of doing that. Did I say accused? You may find yourself doing the same thing. And so what he's saying is that restoration, the gospel is better shown when you can restore people. And I'm going to tell you, I do wish two people are here that I wish we're here today, because I wanted to give them a public acknowledgement, because these two brethren, to me, over the years have shown a great aptitude toward this particular law of love. And that being Deacon Robert Newsom and Deacon Harry Reese. These two men really understand what that means and has demonstrated it and has taught us as deacons to really understand this law of Christ, the law of love that says, restore brethren that have fallen. In other words, treat folk the way you would like to be treated. When you're caught in a fault. Because the word is clear. There ain't none of y'all righteous. That's what the word is. That's what my Bible says. Say ain't none of y'all righteous. No, not even one. Because all of y'all are subject to be caught up in something. It just ain't your day. But your day will come. And even if we don't see it on this side, the word is clear. All of that is going to be revealed in the end. All that stuff you slipping and sliding, think nobody know about. You know, you sliding through. Well, first of all, God knows. And that should hurt you more than anything. So before you go pontificating, judging other folk, it didn't say restore them in the spirit of judgment. It said restore them in the spirit of meekness. Lest you be tempted. Verse 2 says what?
Bearing one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ.
In other words, the second step is you got to do some heavy lifting. You got to share in the heavy lifting of that brother who has been caught in a fault. A lot of folk like to run away. It's easy. It's easy, especially in the church environment. You know how it is, Betty Boo. They you know, in church, everybody think they holy, you know. And so when somebody has a slip up or fall, oh, did I say slip up? When y'all just darn right just do the wrong thing for the right reason. You know, when you get a Tyrone Davis spirit, you know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. You know, when you get, you know, from time to time, y'all subject to do that sort of thing. He says, you know what you got to do? You got to get those of you who are spiritual. Now, we ain't talking about those of you straddling the fence yourself. Because that's what verse 1 is for. It says those of you who are spiritual, not those of you who got your hand in the same smut. Do you notice the people who holler out the loudest about folk and judging them and what they're doing? They're the very folk that get caught up in something. All you got to do is pick up your newspaper. Oh, y'all use Facebook and Snapchat. Okay, pick it up. And see, the very guys who were wailing against such and such are now caught up in the very thing. You know why? They didn't have a spirit of meekness and restoration. They didn't have the spirit of lifting the burdens of those. It's a heavy thing, folks. Let me tell you one thing. When you got a reputation in church, it's easier to lose your reputation in the community than it is in the church. Let me tell you, because in the church, you got that, you know, in some churches, Elijah, you know, they make you come down front, you know. Boy, I tell you, Storm, I used to get so mad. Now, here you are. Imagine it's Saturday night. You doing your thing. And ain't nobody saying, go home, don't do this. It just ain't right. On Sunday morning, the very folk who didn't encourage you to do right, they looking at you askance when you going down to, you know, the altar for prayer. You know how they used to do it when you, everybody had to go. There'd be so many people down that altar on Saturday. I'm going to stop messing. All I'm saying is that, Lord have mercy, ain't that a shame? You know, yeah, oh, he should have went on home. You know, I told him not to be hanging around there, and now he caught up with it. Well, let me tell you, you was in the same place I was. Can't be a witness to nothing that you weren't there. It's hearsay. But Paul says, when a brother has slipped up, you restore him in the spirit of meekness, and then you bear that load. All your business out there. It's easy. People can really throw stones at you when all your business is on the street. You know, they demand that you come before the church and you tell the church what it is that you've done. That ain't lifting no burdens. Because ultimately, what you do is between you and God. Ultimately, now intermediately, it's between me and you. We need to hold each other accountable. But Paul says there's a way to do that. Says, first of all, your first goal is to restore them. But what we want to do is kick them out, sit them down. Ain't getting up there teaching no more Sunday school lessons. I knew he wasn't all of that. Put him out. Paul says, you need to show a spirit of being able to lift that, because that's a heavy load. See, those who I think it's Hebrews, James, Deacon Kendall used to have us read it in all our teachers' lesson about those who are responsible for this gospel. They, it's a double whammy. In other words, God is more, is holding you more accountable than the average person. So now they got to deal with God. And they got to deal with your nosy self. And God says, dealing with me, I can handle it. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. God says, you who are spiritual, help one another. Lift that load. Lift that burden, because it's heavy. It's a heavy weight on them. I want you to get that, because it's different than the burden that we're going to see a little bit later. Help lift the load. Restore the brother. And help lift the load. Verse 3.
For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Oh, Paul just snuck something in on y'all. Because, see, y'all were ready to run to verse 3. But, see, did you notice in verse 2, it says, you stuck on the law, try the law of Christ. Y'all saw it. The law of Christ is the law of love. And, see, love requires me. Love requires me to help you lift your load. See, love is creative. Matter of fact, I told you, there are people who have done things and nobody knows. There are people that have never done things because they've never been caught. Oh, yeah. That's a fact. That's a fact. Because I'm trying to figure out what sins y'all been doing. If y'all say everybody shake their head, we all have sinned. What kind of sins y'all been? So some of y'all ain't been caught. Some folk, laundry has been put out there. And Paul says, when you're in a situation like that, you need to restore. And that restoration is like you mending a net or a broken bone. Gently, in meekness. You know, you don't take nobody with a broken leg and grab the leg. Oh, come on, let me put this, you know. But that's what you do when you come into my, you shouldn't have been there. No, he says, you gently touch that leg so that it will set properly, so they won't be scarred by it. All right, all right. He says, this is the law of Christ. He says, for any man who thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, if you think that you are not prone to be in that same position, you're fooling yourself. And there's a whole bunch of people who were so judgmental, wagging their fingers. You know, there were so many people teeth that stood in your, wagged their finger in your face. I'm like, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You know, you're hot-headed, you this and that. Hey, then they caught up in something. Here you a Christian man, living the life for the Lord. But don't you think you something? Don't you think you're incapable? I shared with you last week. Don't you think that, oh, I could never do that. You can. You just that close. They just ain't got your thing. See, there's some things that you can't be tempted by. You see what I'm saying? Hey, let me give a better example. Keith Edmondson there, he can't be tempted by money. When you got it all, how are you gonna be tempted? Right, Amanda? I mean, that's what Amanda told me. I'm sorry. You can't be tempted by. But just because you can't be tempted by one thing doesn't mean you can't be caught up with something else. And a lot of people, you know, they get, and especially, you know, you have to be careful about it, you know, because depending on your socioeconomic status, you can't be tempted by certain things. Depending on your gender, you can't be tempted by certain things. Because of your age, you may not be tempted by certain things. But folks, you can be tempted by something. Don't delude yourself. You just breath away. You just breath away. Can't no man convince me to do something I don't want to do. Shut up. Please. Can't no what? What man you talking about? One that ain't never been born? There's some ruthless people out there. Can't a woman make me do, oh, shut, please. You delude yourself when you think. And normally, that's when you get caught. You think about all the great failures, both on the secular side and the Christian side, is because people got too big. They thought they were bigger than what they were. They thought they were above the law. That's when you get caught. You get stupid when you think you're above the law. You get stupid when you think that, oh, I'm mighty and I'm clean and I'm pure. And all you peasants just come in here and y'all do certain thing and you need to come to me and nah. Those are the very people that get caught up. So bear the load. Don't be judgmental. Bear it in meekness. Don't go criticizing, you know, you shouldn't have done this and you know, that ain't no, you know what? Just keep it. You know, don't restore me. You got to hear all that. Just keep it. You know, I'll go to the greatest restorer there is, you know. Because as long as you're restored in God's eyes, that's all that matters. He's saying this is how you live out the gospel while you on this side of Jordan. It's not to break up the kingdom. It's not to fracture the kingdom. It's to mend the kingdom whenever the kingdom or the body is injured. You don't throw your light whole self away. Because you break a finger, you go have it mended. And you have it mended in gentleness. And when doctors, you know, when you doctors don't treat me right, want to be all rough with me, I tell, oh no, hey, doc, you can't be doing that. Hey, now, if you can't do it a little more gentle than that, you get somebody in here who can. Call your assistant or something. You don't be gentle with me. Just saying. Y'all are, some of you don't understand. But what? Let every man. Test your own work. Test your own work. Don't be comparing and competing. She did this, but I would never do that. Prove your own work, he says. He says, because If you test your own work, you can rejoice in yourself alone. If you really can test your own work, you shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Well, that seems contradictory until you read verse 5. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, wait a minute. I just thought you just told me to bear the burdens of others. The burden in verse 5 is about responsibility. You all have, while we sit back smug, no, we have a responsibility. To bear responsibility, to bear the burdens of all the brethren in the church. He says, wait a minute. If you're going to really talk about putting the gospel in action, you got to bear the burdens of others. And you got to have a responsibility. You have got to have a desire to do that. You've got to have a strong desire to restore folk. Do it in gentleness and meekness. You've got to take it on as your personal responsibility because this is your work. So everybody wants to talk the gospel. The other night in leadership meeting, y'all heard it. What do we want to be known for? Bless my heart. Yeah. And one of the ones that I remember very distinctly was, we got to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. See, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is sharing that message, but then you've got to show that message in how you love one another, because that's the law of Christ. The law of Christ says that you are to love one another. You have a responsibility to love one another. And if you really love me, don't you want to seek my best interest? Yes. Yes. Somebody help me. I'm tired of kicking folk out the kingdom. You know, like we in charge of it. You're no better off than the person that's being kicked off. No better. You just ain't your season. This is your season of goodness. Yeah, yeah. You know, some people are in the season of hellenist behavior. You in your season of holiness. But don't get caught up in your season of holiness because seasons change. For every man to bear his own burden has a responsibility to do it. Verse 6 says what? Well, the gospel, really interesting. Restore one another, help one another, and then support those who communicate the gospel. Did I read that right? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Do you know what that means, folk? All you folk that stand up in business meetings and talk about, you know, what we pay the pastor and who we pay and folk, shut up. Go to the word. Paul here says, if you really want to put the gospel in action, pay your pastor. Not try to put him out every other day. Not trying to reduce the salary. You know, not saying he gets too much. But not only is this a pastor, this applies to all folk who communicate the word. I have to be careful here, though, because sometimes I perpetrate the fraud of one who communicates the word on Sunday morning. But it says that there's nothing wrong with you sharing your material things with folk who communicate the word of God. Now, see, right now, Phyllis, there's about three horns that are grown up. But I ain't scared. I got word on my side. Because I got verse 7. See, if I had verse 6 alone, I could not give that as a step for putting the gospel in action. If you want to put the gospel in action, pay those who share the word. Pay those who share the gospel. You are being, think about it now, you are being blessed. And if some of you knew nothing about tithing and anti-metrophibetide, the principle of reciprocity, Luke 6:30, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, the same measure you give, it shall be meted to you. Know nothing about that. Know nothing about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, because your blessing was inextricably tied to that because of anti-metrophibetide. Didn't know it. And now you're being blessed. And all he's saying is that if you really want to put the gospel in action, share with those who communicate it. Verse 7. Don't fool yourself. But you got so focused in on the money, you forgot what we were doing. What we were doing, we were restoring a brother. And what Paul is saying is that that restoration includes a full understanding that you're to help that brother, you're to support those who carry the gospel, and don't fool yourself. God can't be made a fool of. You can't fool God. In other words, you can't come fronting that you're really trying to help me and at the same time judging me. God is not mocked, because whatever you do to them, you can expect it will be done to you. We're restoring a person. Elijah, that's what we're doing. See, we get so haughty and so big that we're ready to kick everybody, you know, because, you know, they were there Saturday night. They drank the White Lightning. They took on the Tangeray and the Johnny Walker and the JBB, you know, the Blue Goose and whatever y'all drinking now. You know, they were so, oh, and then we had the teetotal of coffee. You know, that's what they said. What was it spiked with? It's just like we used to go to the Shamrock Ball. I remember, eighth graders. And the very first thing you were told, boy, you're being trusted. Now you go out to this house, you come back, the first thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna check two things. I'm gonna check your pant leg, I'm gonna check your breath. One of those we can talk about. 5, detect any kind of alcohol. Oh, guys, let me tell you, I bring it. Oh, hey, the cheap seats are over there. You know, you pay good money for this seat. That brass was going to be checked. And you couldn't be coming to my, oh, no, I didn't drink none of that. Oh, no, I would never do that. Because somebody spiked it. See, your testimony was true. You didn't drink none that you thought of. But all that coffee you were drinking over there, they had it spiked with Blue Goose. You can't taste vodka, can't smell it. But I digress. God is not fooled. God, and it is contemptuous, ladies and gentlemen, to think that God can be deceived. God says, I'm looking at how you treat God. And whatever you do to him, it's going to come back to you. Let me tell you something, folks. We in Christendom, we don't teach karma. We teach the unadulterated word of God. And the word of God says, if you sow beans, you're going to get beans. If you sow discord, you're going to get discord. If every time you want to do wrong by someone, or what you think is right by someone who has done wrong, that same right and wrong relationship, you're setting up for yourself. That is the ultimate principle of reciprocity. Anti-metrosivitation. You cannot, folks, expect to not give any mercy. Civil war mercy. Man, wait a minute, let me tell you what. Justice always suits my case, but I beg for your mercy. It's easy to find me wrong, but I beg for your mercy. I beg for restoration. And I beg for you to take your responsibility is to help me in that restorative process. Amen. I can't help y'all in church, so I'll help you in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let me tell you something, folk. You gotta forgive. Amen. You get on your high horse if you want to. Because there will come a day. Let me tell you something. There'll come a day in all relationships where the tables will be turned. Because that's just human nature. Oh, don't, people don't tell me they ain't fooling. You know, my husband did. I remember they used to say it, fella. My husband is my husband. And 10 years later, the husband don't ever miss a Sunday school class. But that wife can't find her. Let me tell you, y'all scared me. I'm just telling you the truth. So here it is, and I've seen it many times. The folk, just about the time you get that old rascal squared away, then something happened in your life that messes you up. And God says, if you want to be treated well, treat people well. Do what God would do. God loves you. God agapes you. Agape is creative, redemptive goodwill for all people. That's what agape is. So in other words, agape in its first element is creative. Agape finds a way. When that rascal has messed up you so bad, I mean, he done it. He done ruined the family name. They want to take your name out of the telephone book. That's how bad he done messed up your name. You got to find a way to love him, restore him, help him lift that burden. Because God is not a fool. You can't deceive God. And you can't do it haphazardly either. Oh yeah, I forgive him. I forgive him. And sitting there thinking, I'm just waiting for him to mess up one more time. And you know what it's saying? You're turning up your nose at God. That's what that mock. God is not mocked. You're turning your nose up at God. Like God is stupid. God can't read your heart. God knows exactly how you feel about that situation. Somebody makes a mistake in ministry. Don't kill them. I'm talking about just a mistake. Because if you ain't making mistakes, you ain't doing nothing. And I'm talking about the mistakes. In other words, oh, you know, that performance here, you know, those greeters today, they just didn't come off right. I'm removing you from the greeters ministry. Come on. Would you want to be treated that? Would you want to be judged on every performance? God is not a fool. He won't be mocked. You're not going to be contemptuous with God. You're deceiving yourself. That's exactly what the word says. For he that soweth to his flesh shall what? But he that what? Has somebody ever made you so mad you could bite nails? mean, they just make you mad. And you ball up your fist. And you say, prepare to meet your maker right now. I'm going to send you to your permanent destination. And it ain't heaven. Anybody made you that mad? It says here, if you strike that person, you're dealing out of flesh. See, but in chapter 5, he had already given you what the fruit of the Spirit is. He's saying that you've got to sow the Spirit. You've got to say, I love you. I don't like what you've done, because that makes people accountable. There are a whole bunch of stuff, that people do in the church that I don't necessarily like. But you know what? I love them. I love them more than I dislike what they done. And that's the way it's got to be. Because otherwise, if you just put everybody out, everybody in your life out, oh, you just put them out. That's why you ain't got nobody. Oh, did you tell me to be quiet? Oh, I'm sorry. No! That's why you ain't got no relationship. That's why nobody can stand to be around you. Because you constantly sow to the flesh. You hold up holy hands. You talk a good game when it comes to the word. You say, you know, I'm the head and not the tail, and all things work together for those who love the Lord, and oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. You really put on a good show, but God is not mocked. God ain't a fool. God knows your heart. He knows that you got an unforgiving spirit. How does God know we have an unforgiving spirit? Because we always demonstrate it by sowing it through the flesh. We do. We do. From the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. We do it. And God says, I'm not a fool. Y'all keep playing that game. And that's why you keep getting what you're getting. Because there's never any genuine attempt to really restore folk. And when there is, you're criticized. I hear Bogdan now. Well, why do you want to do that? Why are you sticking up for Lay like that? Don't you know what he did? Yeah, I know what he did. Well, why would you be sticking up for him then? Because when I go to my Heavenly Father, every day I have to look into the very mouth of God every day. Every time you pick up this word of God, you're picking up the mouth, you're looking into the mouth of God. And it tells me what my condition is. And when I look at myself and I look at who God is, I ain't got time to be worried about Lay. I realize that, you know what? Let me tell you, he got some things going for him that I don't have going for me. And I say, bless you, my brother, I pray for you. What can I do for you? I'll do one thing. I'll pray for you, and I'll put your name in the street. When people run up to me, you know why people, you know why they always say, why didn't Deacon Sneed ever know anything? But you know what they're talking about, bud? They're never talking about the W-O-R-D. They're always talking about W-O-R-D-S, words. They're always talking about Facebook. Why didn't Sneed know anything about Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram? Because they don't read that. But on the word, ask me something about that. Why didn't he know anything? Well, he not only doesn't go to Facebook, Sister Harriet, he doesn't let folk who've been there come and bring him junk. That's why they won't tell me. I'm like, all the deacons say, wait a minute, bro, didn't you hear such and such? No. But wait a minute. And after a while, boy, they get discouraged in the head. Wait a minute. My Steve is here, and he don't know. You know why? Because they don't bring it. Because I believe in one thing. Prior to being saved, that's third grade, I learned that a dog that will bring a bone will carry one. street folk, no more than church folk. You let people run up, tell you all kinds of stuff about folk, instead of you saying, let's just pray for them right now. You buy into it. Make a comment. And you know what will happen? I guarantee you, folk, I asked you to test it right here in this class if you want to. Go up and tell somebody something. Negative if you want to. Make it the more negative, the better. And you know what will happen, Sister Brown? Here's what will happen. When they leave you, they'll tell. You know what Harriet told me? All Sister Brown did was shake her head, just like she's doing right now. Okay, well, she may have said, I'm going to pray about that. But you know what they say? I was talking to Sister Harriet. And we said, that's why Brother Sneed don't know nothing. He ain't bringing me that mess. Oh, no. Once a mask taken, oh, no. Garbage in, garbage out. Don't let him bring it. No, brother, let's stop this right now. Let's stop. Let's restore. That is true? Yes, I witnessed it with my own eyes. Let's do Matthew 18. That's what Deacon Newsom would say. Oh, he's the master of it. If you ever wanted a good lesson on Matthew chapter 18, go to Deacon Robert Newsom. He'll tell you. And he said, wait, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to get two of y'all, and we're going to go to y'all and say, what's the deal here? And after we find out the deal, we're going to start a ministry of reconciliation or restoration. Amen. Not deterioration, not destroying one's character. We got a great church. But folk have said stuff, because I've heard stuff come out from some places that it shouldn't have come out, where people have been talking. And I guarantee you one thing, folk, all it is talk. Ain't nothing true about it. So don't let them talk to you. Yeah, oh, you want to talk about trash? Nah, you know what? They got a great Sunday school lesson today. Don't they have it next week? They got a great, oh, we're going to be in Genesis. Woo, I'm so happy. But we ain't going to talk about that junk. Because if you're in a fault, sis, you know what you need to do? You need to come and say, I want to be accountable, Brother Sneed. This is what I got. Now, in that accountability, you know what you've just done? You've said, Brother Sneed, I want to share with you, but I don't want to share with everybody. Because you know what? If I wanted to share with everybody, I'd have stood up in that Sunday school class and I would have shared. Stop telling your business to people you think are holding your secrets. And for those of you who are still sophisticated and holy, let me tell you, I subscribe to the mafia philosophy about secrets. There's the only way that three people can keep a secret. Two of them are dead. It's just me, Storm. It's just me. But verse 9 says, if you really want to put the gospel in action, you got to help other people. You really got to help other people, all people, not just people you like. You got to include everybody. Sound familiar? 8 o'clock? You got to include. Don't exclude anybody. Help everybody. In verse 9 it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season, we shall what? And you know what? It gets awful tired of trying to help folk who need the help. But you know what? You get tired in it, but you don't get tired of it. You always want to help folk. Everybody. The Word of God says if you really want to show the gospel in action, help people, and don't get tired of doing it. Help people. You know why? Because we all need help. All of y'all big shot callers, what did Bob Brown call them? Shot callers. Yeah, the Kawhis of the world. You think you can do it by yourself? Go right on it. I realize it may look like he's doing it by himself. But everybody needs some help. Everybody. Is it nothing but gets us though here? Helps us. Oh, wait, switch this out. What about the teens? They need help? You don't exclude them? No, everybody. And you know what? You don't get tired of it. Because you know what? Sooner or later, the reason why you have this attitude of helping folks, sooner or later, they really gonna need your help. They really gonna need your help. If it ain't nothing but pray for me. Some folk don't need you running up in their business. Some folk just need you to stay out of their business and pray for them. Yeah. Oh, you thought, I didn't know that was a way of help. Yeah, that's the great way of helping. Just pray for me. You ever hear? You know, and I used to, you know, I in my impetuous days, you know, my wife would tell you if she was here that she'd tell you that my favorite saying was, look here, I don't need your help. You see me and a bear fighting, help the bear. That's what I used to tell her, Doc. That's what I used to tell her. Fast forward 47 years. And now, when I said, hey, baby, could you, she says, I'm helping the bear. I'm helping the bear. You told me, help the bear. But folks, what I learned from that is you got to help folks even when they don't know they need help. Because that's what the gospel is all about. When you share the gospel with someone, you know what you're doing? You're helping them. You're helping them. But when you show the gospel, you are really helping them. So you're to share it and to show it each and every day. If this gospel is going to be in action, and you can't get weary. Finally, we can go. Some of y'all, this is the first time y'all smiled all day when I said it's time to go. They said, Lord, thank you, Lord. I've been praying for help. I saw them, fellas. Some of us, wait a minute, y'all don't understand. I'm medicated today. I've been praying for this to be over with. Well, it is. Ask and it shall be given. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do
good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household.
You're to help everybody. Don't get tired. And you're really to help everybody, and especially those that are in the household of faith. We are family. You have family no matter what. We are your family. Matter of fact, anybody here know who their deacon is? Sister Marsha, what's your deacon called? Huh? Smith. Oh, Deacon Smith? William Smith is your, and he's your what? What is his title? Family deacon. Family deacon. He ain't just a deacon. He's your family deacon. In other words, he's your adjunct pastor. Because that deacon will be at the hospital when Pastor Brown is digging wells in Africa. That deacon will be with you. That deacon will be with you, or one of his representatives will be with you. Because you know why? You're his family. And he's your family. You're his family. And it says you ought to especially support folk that are in your family. So folk, let me tell you something. Don't talk about your deacon. No. Matter of fact, I have one rule. And I got a couple of my members in here now. They'll tell you. My only rule as a family, they'd rather deacons be giving another long spiel and all that. I got to do this. And I tell them one thing. Don't talk about your deacon. That's it. We'll get along. Just don't talk about your deacon. Don't weary in doing well. doing good for others, because that shows the gospel. When you do good to other folk, that's showing the gospel. A lot of people talk it, but they don't walk it. Gospel is to be put into action. And I just stated some ways for you to put it in action today. Restore folk, help folk, support those that are in the gospel, do well by everybody. That's putting the gospel in action. Thank you for your time. We'll see you next week.